Hey, you can call it spiritual darkness if you want to, dark energy if you want to. There is such a ramping up of supernatural, but it's darkness around the globe, and it corresponds with societal chaos. Now listen, that's the topic this week for the four live shows we're going to do. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. I want to welcome you to Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you from all over, well, the world. And I'd like to hear from you, where you're from, and want you to know that I'm grateful that you take time to listen, even if it's the archives that you download later. That's fine, too. But we're going to be dealing with the topic this week entitled Spiritual Darkness Corresponds with Societal Chaos. Now, what we mean by that, to the degree of the, well, demonic manifestation, the satanic evolution, the alternative, deceptive, dark spiritual power, to the degree of that manifestation, there will be a corresponding degree of, I believe, earth changes and societal chaos. There is a reaction, even in creation, let alone in nations and society, to the ramping up of the dark side, prophesied 2,000 years ago, again and again and again. So it's vital that we understand prophetic revelation. Vital to understand what the Spirit of God has written for us to see concerning the days that we're living in. Listen, I'm not confused about these days because there is massive communication telling us what these days will be like. Jesus did it, Matthew 24. The Spirit of God penned it out in Daniel 2,600 years ago. You can read about it again, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 John 2, the book of the Apocalypse of Jesu Christu, the book of Revelation. And you can take time and see that God has given a great heads up. So in the world of politics, in the world of military, in the world of criminology, there is a corresponding and direct effect to the rise of dark energy, dark powers, and the radical evil that's going on. Listen, a number of years ago, we had family friends. And I'm not going to say their name. They were friends of my father and mother, and we were raised around them, and we knew them very well. And the man's wife, was a realtor who sold our home in Green Township. Her life was ended one day when she got into a conflict with her husband again. She decided she was going to leave. She went out the front door saying, "I'm leaving you, it's over." They were both in their late 50s. She went next door to talk to her daughter. And then she was going back to her house. As she got to the front door, the screen door, a shotgun blast just rang out. The husband was on the other side, sick of all of it, mentally gone, downcast. As his wife was approaching the door, he just blew her away. A few seconds later, he turned the gun up into underneath his chin and blew his head off. And so this was a homicide, suicide. And we hear stories like this all over the place. And my involvement in the law enforcement, the world of crime and cult crime. Listen, there is a reason for radical crimes. It's sadistic what people can do to people. It really is. We're going to look at some of tonight. Tonight's topic over this whole week, or tonight's title, is shooters. It can be emotional meltdown or demonic too. We're going to look at the difference. When I say emotional meltdown, I'm going to deal with, well, this presence in humanity, the sin code, a force that God says even crouches at the door like a waiting, lurking animals seeking to drive people to do what we were never meant to do. Listen, we're going to talk about that this week. Monday night, it's entitled, it can be an emotional meltdown or demonic too. Tuesday night at 7 p.m., it's going to be entitled, it can be a belief system that drives the murder or radical evil. And then Wednesday at 6, programmed assassins, there may be thousands. And Friday, the Black Awakening, Chaos, 2012ers. And listen, we're gonna bring in a subject called, that I'm calling, an inverted satanic Pentecost. So hope you'll be with us Friday to hear that. Let me give you a couple things that happened here just lately before we go into the body of this message tonight. Listen, if you want to write to me during the show, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And again, welcome to all of you from all over. I want to say thank you for many of you that have written, and some of you that have already gotten the book, The Black Awakening. All of those have been up through November the 2nd have been shipped out, and we're going to do another shipment coming here in about a day for those in the last, within the last 4, 5, 6 days that orders have come in. The orders are direct now through the publishing company, so you can go to shatterthedarkness.net to find out about that, to find out about the theme for the week and the titles for each night. And, well, you can even tell a friend, but I want you to know that this is a supernatural hour. It really is. It's been prayed over. And I do understand there's a lot of believers in Christ that listen, so I share an unashamed faith in the living Christ, in God who so loved the world. And see, that's my motivation. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. You know John 3:16 and 3:17. So the motivation is there. That's the motivation in my heart for all of you who listen. And I know that psychics and remote viewers and people that are seekers, and you're looking for something, and maybe you have kind of dialed in your search, and it may be the direct providence. That's the good arrangement of God that you've come here to listen for a little bit tonight. Because we're going to talk about, even at the end, as we always do, how can a person get in touch with God? How can a person come to know in a personal way God, his power, eternal life, his leading? Listen, that is the great news in the midst of all the junk going on. But I've got two emails that have come in. And I'm going to mention one. I won't mention last names at all, but a friend that has written in says this. Hi, Pastor Russ. I have heard some of your Blog Talk radio shows and found them very informative. My wife and I have been born-again believers for about 14 years now. I was told by a friend, and by the way, the email is entitled, Concerned About Satanism. Concerned About Satanism. And so he's telling me now here, quote, I was told by a friend that for every church in an area, there is a satanic cult that is there to disrupt the church. I feel that God has called our ministry to teach or at least know ourselves about spiritual warfare. Hallelujah for you, Bob. That's a tremendous, I mean, we need it more than ever. We should have it in the very beginning of discipleship. We should know this deeply within the first 6 months of being a believer. But listen, with the ramping up of counterfeit, alternative, aggressive, and even extremely lethal demonic manifestation, we should know it more than ever. Bob goes on to write this, quote, especially this type. The churches in this area are, listen to this, I'm quoting now, and I've heard this so many times. Quote, Bob says, the churches in this area are not teaching anything like what you are teaching. In fact, they are giving the believers milk and not meat. There is so much more to learn than what a large number of churches have been teaching. What can I do to find out about satanic cults in my area? And it looks like it's Connecticut. And what can I do? And by the way, we had a chosen one down from Connecticut here. Matter of fact, this chosen one out of Connecticut introduced me to a federal officer's wife that was, wow, one of the most aggressive Black Flame Satanists, multiple, very powerful, and never did totally get out. Very lethal person from the inside. This is the one that tried to kill me, that was set up and programmed. But we won't go into that right now. But anyway, Bob says, what do I do to find out more about satanic cults in my area? And what can I do to stop them? And says, thank you for your time and God bless, Bob. Now listen, Bob, and all those who are like-minded with Bob right now, there's no question. Listen, I've been pastoring, you know, for, you know, 30 years in four churches, but we've done this work in the midst of it all for over 26, 27 years. And it's been an emphasis and a very strong one because I love the body of Christ, but I agree that it's massively weak in its understanding of the centrality of the gospel's conflict. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail or withstand it. The concept is he would build a powerful body of believers clothed with the Spirit of God and having the authority that it would be the aggressor. Obviously, we see this in the book of Acts. The church and mission is the aggressor. And the gates of hell, you can call it the pinnacle of its power in the gates of hell, the strongholds, can't withstand the onslaught of the church, the body of Christ. Any believers that are trained in all the discipleship that Jesus taught will become an unstoppable, a indefeatable, and fruitful, powerful believer in Christ. So listen, believers in Christ, wherever you're at, I don't care how weak you've been. I don't care how many excuses. I don't care, you know, forget all these things. Look up into the face of Christ. Take up the cross and begin to read the Gospels and look at the book of Acts. We're called to take up that cross, to be in obedience to the Great Commission. We're part of a massive mission. And we're to receive that salvation, that clothing of the power of the Spirit, the authority of Christ. Put on the armor of God. Be alert. Be active. There is no greater access to the power, signs, wonders, and miracles of God than through the prayers of obedient believers. So for those who want simple discipleship, look at the Gospel of John chapter 15. Without Christ, you can do nothing. But if you abide in him, remain in him, Greek word meno, if you dwell in Jesus and you allow his word to dwell, that is, be operative in you by obedience to it. Believe it and do it. You know, obedience is faith in action. That's what it is. Faith is a active, not a passive thing. If you believe, you obey. It's inseparable. So Jesus says there that we've been chosen to bear fruit, much fruit, fruit to the last. We've been chosen to be able to do incredible things. Just a couple of chapters prior to this, Jesus says, listen, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the works that I've been doing and even greater things than these. Let me ask you, believers, where are the greater things? Where are simply the things that Jesus did? Do we realize the incredible power of prayer, the miracles that can be, the spiritual revivals that can come? Listen, I don't care what deadness you see. Quit looking at the physical and look at the Word of God. Look at Christ. Look at the promises and believe them and begin to act on them and watch how absolutely powerful you can become in Christ. Acts 9:22. Saul of Tarsus is saved, filled with the Spirit of God. He begins to launch out in the mission of Jesus. The Bible says, in his obedience, here's what it says in chapter 9, verse 22, that he grew more and more powerful. In an hour in which there is massive counterfeit spirituality and supernaturalism, don't you think that the church should not recede and hide and try to protect itself, but being the light of the world, having the clothing of the infinite Spirit of God, having the infallible Word of God, having the promise of the living Savior, you know what he said, I will be with you always, to the end of the age. Where are the believers that believe that with all of their being? And they're the ones going to be filled with the radiance of Jesus. They're the ones going to have the activity of Jesus all around them. They're the ones that are going to be in obedience to the Word of God, getting stronger and stronger, unstoppable and indefeatable. And I pray that you are going to be one of them. May God bless you in that. And so, Bob, I'm just inspired by your email and going to tell you, and I already sent an email back to Bob, primarily, here's a couple of things you can do. One is pray for the exposure of the satanic covens, the kind that know spiritual warfare, the kind that are doing curses and summoning demons and sending them, the kind that are involved in satanic ritual abuse and all that. Number one, begin to pray. There's no other way to break in. No other way to break in than by a supernatural superior presence and power. That would be Christ. That would be the Spirit of God. Now, 1 John 4 tells you as a believer, Megdala, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, referring to the satanic presence and power. I don't care if every single demon in hell manifests. It doesn't diminish the authority, the power, and the promises, and the presence of the living Christ. So, come all of hell, Jesus said, it wouldn't withstand the onslaught of the real body of Christ, the Corpus Christi, the believers, like in the book of Acts. Take a look at Stephen. As a matter of fact, look at the Philip factor, second generation believer, not an apostle. Acts, the end of chapter 7, but all of chapter 8. Look at the saturation of God's presence, power, supernatural activity, and backing in an obedient, unstoppable, indefeatable believer. So, Bob, I just want you to know, and I want everybody else to know, whether it's in Connecticut or anywhere else, in our research and our experiences, every city has satanic covens and groups. Every city in every psych ward has satanic, ritually abused, multiple personality, DID, victims in the psych ward trying to find out, you know, what they can do to get help. So wherever you find a victim of satanic ritual abuse, you're going to find that behind that there are covens. Supernaturally, secretly empowered. I mean, they're empowered demonically. And so they're cloaked. They have powers, friends. No. Listen, to the Satanists that are listening, to the Luciferians and ritual workers that listen to this, you know, quit being afraid. Send me an email or something and let me know that you're listening and respond to what we're saying even now. We know that you operate in real power. It's real. Wrong. It's real and lethal. It's real and it's going to ultimately lead you to hell. That's for sure. Every prophetic utterance in Scripture has been irrevocable, indefeatable. You can't alter it. Christ is coming. And instead of you shedding blood for Satan and getting dark powers, realize Christ shed a sinless, perfect blood that attacks sin, Satan, death, hell, and eternal loss. Because he loves you. Because he's come for you. Why don't you get a grip? Take a read of John's Gospel, chapter 7. Well, read the whole book of the Gospel of John. The Spirit of God says towards the end, it was written. The whole Gospel of John was written that you might believe. And that by believing, listen, I call it indestructible immortality, eternal life. There's nothing in the entire multi-million member New Age movement that comes close to this indestructible immortality that Christ secured at the cross. Listen again, this is simply Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net, just responding to Bob's email here live. Sent a note to him telling him that in his area, pray for the exposure, but also pray for the destruction of satanic powers. We don't pray for the destruction of people. We pray that God stops evil in any whatever it takes to stop perpetrators from harming children and cutting people up and all that. Whatever it takes, may God stop them. But we pray for the destruction of satanic powers. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. All the demons know, for those that are listening that have demons, you know your demons know the blood of Jesus is absolutely infinite in power. You know your demons tremble at the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesu Christu. There's a reason for that. All of hell knows, every demon that exists, every fallen angel knows of a coming judgment. So, Bob, thank you, because, again, I said your letter moves me, and I pray for you in the area of Connecticut, if that's what the abbreviation is here, that God would powerfully expose satanic covens, find the victims, and supernaturally bring rescue to them. I would pray that in Jesus' name, demonic powers would be destroyed, and that churches would be struck with revival. Revival's all about the Spirit of God bringing the church back to where it was supposed to be in the first place. Too bad God has to drag a lot of half-baked Christians along the way. Why don't we just cooperate with God, believe God, quit trying to appease the world? We're boring the world with boring services that have 38 seconds of prayer. You look at the book of Acts 4, you find your church becoming an obedient, powerfully praying, and supernaturally induced church. Every gifting, every working done real. Don't mock it up and make a game emotionally of it and try to force it. Doesn't work that way either. Makes everybody look goofy. Christians sometimes, we're just, listen, just nuts because we don't follow the simplicity of discipleship that will turn us into Christ-likeness and will turn us into, like what Christ did. That's what it's all about. That's the simplicity. So we pray, and I want you to know, Bob, too, and anybody else, on the ShatterTheDarkness.net website, if you scroll down, there's a lot of stuff on it. It's a busy website, so take your time in looking over everything. Just take your time. And you're going to find on there where it says prayer mapping, targeted intercession. Click on to prayer mapping and targeted intercession. You're going to find that it's a two-hour MP3 training material that we have, plus a download of the actual prayer map that we use kind of like our prayer request sheet. There's a mention also of Bohemian Grove and what we need to do there. You should be, all believers in America should be praying against all the things at Bohemian Grove, exposure and destruction of the demonic stuff and rescue of victims and even salvation and pulling out the elitists and priests and workers of darkness. You know, listen. Let's get 10,000 believers praying that way. And who knows, maybe an earthquake will shake and bring the demon god idol down along with all the practices there. So much to uncover, nowhere to hide, elitists. It is written in the Word of God, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Take a read, Hebrews 4. Now, let me go to another email real quick. You know what this comes from? This comes from a person that I know that has sub-personalities with enhancements, dark powers. They know the dark side, at least from all that they've written me. It shows they know the dark side. And in knowing the dark side, there's times they and many others that have been monitoring what we do. Now, I wrote a response Because you know the movie, The Men Who Stare at Goats and the Psy War stuff, that again, that goes way back. First Earth Battalion, Colonel Shannon, even MK Ultra. All of this stuff is 30 and 40 and 50 years old. What we don't know is what's going on 2009. And that's going to take a supernatural breaking in to really find out what's going on. And it could be done if there are believers brave enough to target dark military, subversive military projects that involve dark powers and the Luciferian agenda. The agenda to bring about a globalization and a super soldier army. That's part of the Luciferic agenda. I don't care what your background is. And if you're military listening right now, you are, according to God, with his heads up to you in the world, you're one of the most targeted groups in all the world for satanic evolution, ideology, to create supra weapons, supra global unity, supra numbers, and supra soldiers. Anyway, in an article that was written, gosh, I don't even know how long, back June 2007, a couple of years ago. And it's an article about MK Ultra. It's an article about some of the projects of mind control. There's MK Ultra Subproject 130. And it goes on to talk about some of the people involved, what they did. It's not a very long article at all. But it's interesting that somebody who monitors all that we do, and there's a lot that do, and so again, I'll say, welcome, not only listen to politicians and military that are looking for answers, but I'm talking about the shadow government people, the shadow, military people. You know who you are, and you know what you're into. But your listening is a very important issue. Because regardless of your agenda in listening, you can't outwit that God has an agenda for you. Trying to reach you, knocking at the door of your life. But anyway, the article goes into a lot of the New Age stuff and you know all this kind of stuff and deals with First Earth Battalion and Colonel Shannon. And it's all, you know, kind of current now because of the movie that's out. I'll be going tonight or tomorrow to see the movie, The Men Who Stare at Goats. They've kind of made a spoof out of it, so what you see there is only scratching the surface of the, well, you can call it Psy War, Psy Enhancement, Human Enhancement, DARPA understands, transgenics, transmutation, transspiritos. Now, in the article that deals with even Nick Begich and mind control weapons and all the rest through the article, I wrote 2 years ago, I guess it was, a response under their comments. Now, I'm going to read you real quick the response I wrote. It's pretty interesting. Because somebody else writes about the lecturer Alan Shefton and others. I was at the mind control conference in the early 90s. When Alan Shefton and Corey Dunn Hammond spoke about the MK Ultra Monarch and all the stuff going on back then. Even then, they had no idea that it involved millions. So anyway, I post a response, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to quote right here. And it says, you know, my name on it, whatever else, Russ, and Preemption Pod. I have a 1 hour MP3 that I listed for people to look up. But anyway, I just have down here, quote, Colonel Shannon in his First Earth New Age Battalion was also active in the 70s. It has been recalled. The MK Ultra victims we have worked with have clearly had cult involvement, seeking supernatural powers to make supernatural soldiers. There is a trail of tears. Check the psych wards and you will find thousands of MPD or DID who have sub-personalities created by whom? And I asked the question. And then I just put down the names G.H. Estabrooks, Will Sidney Gottlieb, Jolly West, Dr. Orne, many others. A notes here, for the perps, payday someday. I close out my little comment by saying, chosen ones are those who are chosen in this bloodline, satanic, generational creation of sub, well, super soldiers with sub-personalities. They're the ones coming out of satanic ritual abuse, and probably most of them are intact and not showing up at psychiatric wards and counseling centers. But I end by saying chosen ones will read this too. Some to monitor and recon, others looking for a way out. Now, I put that to that article from 2007. So I have a sub-personality, I guess research is everything I do. And they just simply say Dizdar, using my last name, they always just call me Dizdar. By the way, that's Yugoslavian, my folks came from Dalmatia, well, my grandmother and grandfather that I knew the most. Dalmatia, Croatia, Yugoslavia is where they came from. Here's what it says, fact, everything you say or do is monitored. That is nothing new. Did you hear me? Here's what we don't know about the secret power of lawlessness, let alone the fact there's the above-ground alternative spirituality of the New Age, guiding people further and further from the real Christ and offering them an incredible delusion, precursors to globalism and the mark of the beast. So if you're a New Ager, get out, man. Get out. And there's the underground, the secret, 2 Thessalonians 2, power of, Anamos, the lawless, the absolutely opposite in opposition to God, the lawlessness. The Antichrist is going to be called the Anthropos Anamos, the man of lawlessness, meaning that he brings opposition to everything, the name of God, the presence of God, the book of God, the people of God, any symbol, anything he's against and opposed. That's who's probably living in Europe right now, by the way, and going to have the apocalypse of the Antichrist probably in the next number of years, right after the great satanically led chaos. And with millions of chosen ones and the ones that have made them and created them and the technology that's behind the scenes. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no question, and you can write to me and tell me whether you agree with this or not, that where Echelon is, HARP, the NSA, the CIA, the DOD, the DIA, and on and on and on and on, is littered with planted chosen ones. Individuals created with sub-personalities that are buried beneath. Some sub-personalities can monitor, recon, infiltrate deep within military. That's why I'm concerned about military. Because when the day of chaos comes, they're there to sabotage you. Some of you are sitting next to buddies and other people and you know something's wrong with their eyes and they have something and they're missing at times and there's something strange about them. Sub-personalities trained, as G.H. Chester Brooks in 1947 wrote, how the military learned how to do this, demonic technology, creating internal subalter assassins, recon specialists. I sat in a police department office with a chosen one while they were on the department computers. Turning the monitor away from me, they typed in specialty codes. They turned it back to me and it said, now U.S. military is monitoring you. They showed me things that nobody else had access to. They're the one that recruited me to become a police chaplain in a department where they allowed me to teach at the police academy on cult crime, on multiplicity and all this stuff. For one reason. They wanted to monitor me, watch me, recon me. They wanted to keep me close to see what I was saying. The individual that recruited me was a high complex chosen one with personalities that had, 5 separate languages they could speak and write. Massively proficient with weapons and in their knowledge of the Luciferian cause. So, just going to tell you tonight that those are two of the emails that came in this last week. Again, during the show, ShatterXmail, sbcglobal.net. And it looks like I got a response already, but I'm not going to be able to do this tonight. I'll be able to read this maybe tomorrow night on the show. I can't read it tonight. Tonight, listen, we are talking about the series or the topic this week that is spiritual darkness corresponds with societal chaos. Simply put, the rise of the manifestation of dark presence and power will have corresponding toxic effects to creation, to society as a whole concerning its breakdown, its destabilization. So everything's moving, the culture, the nations, in its economic, environmental, political, military, breakdowns. New diseases are coming, manufactured probably, on and on and on. So, as we move towards the day of chaos, 2012ers have no idea what the reality is. Let me tell you that some of those program shooters have already broken out, and they've done stuff. We've been monitoring and watching, 20 different episodes across the nation of shooters. Whether it was all the way back to Columbine or the German guy that had a T-shirt that said humanity's overrated, and Finland, and he shot and killed 8 others. You can go to shatterthedarkness.net and you'll see up there towards the upper left the little display picture that'll say shooters in the Black Awakening. Click on that and we give you a big web page on some of the past shooters and what they were all about. But Fort Hood is another story, and we're going to deal specifically with that tomorrow night again, because, and I'm reading from the Associated Press, radical imam praises alleged Fort Hood shooter. Alleged, yeah, right. By the way, he woke up today. Here's the guy that stood up, crying out Allah Akbar, which is, I'm just telling you right now, it's praise to a demonic territorial being. That's who operated in him in the slaughter of women and men who had no weapons. Anyway, I'm going to quote right here from Pamela Hess and Aline Sullivan, Associated Press writers, in Washington. Quote, a radical American imam on Yemen's most wanted militant list who had contact with the 9/11 hijackers praised alleged Fort Hood shooter Hassan as a hero on his personal website Monday, today. The posting of the website for Anwar al-Awlaki, who was a spiritual leader at 2 mosques where the 9/11 hijackers worshipped. This is what he said. He said, quote, American Muslims who condemned the attacks on the Texas military base last week are hypocrites who have committed treason against their religion. Awlaki says the only way a Muslim can justify serving in the U.S. military is if he intends to follow in the footsteps of men like Nidal or Hassan, this coward shooter, coward Muslim shooter. Goes on to say from his website, this radical American imam, I'm reading from the Associated Press. Hassan is a hero. He is a man of conscience who could not bear living the contradiction of being a Muslim and serving in an army that is fighting against his own people. Now, I don't want to read the whole article because I'm sickened by, this. And in a fallen world, we're going to find out that there are individuals that will dance and celebrate and give food and candy and gifts when such murderous actions are taken. By the way, for a preview of the coming radical evil, look at the two witnesses that are written about in the book of Revelation. For 3.5 years, nobody can stop them, and they are witnessing and prophesying and doing signs and wonders, massive spiritual communication, revelation from God, from Christ, during the first 3.5 years of the reign of the Antichrist. Until finally there is something that enables the beast to kill the two witnesses, and all of a sudden, it tells us in the future there will be a radical, almost like a massive celebration. People give gifts, dancing, and this, whatever. That's how far it's going to go when you have demons, you know, doctrines of demons guiding fallen, unaided humanity in this kind of stuff. Now, I've said tonight that the basic topic is, can a shooter like at Fort Hood, a lot of the people are, you know, trying to say, oh, this is emotional, this is, you know, he's crazy, it was a meltdown, all this other junk. And they're trying to, you know, because they're afraid to say that the Quran teaches this and that Muslim content teaches this and that it's it involves not only the depth of the sin of man, but also a heart that is a platform for demonic energy, presence, influence. So I'm going to say tonight that when it comes to people shooting and killing others, which we find in carjackings and home invasions and all kinds of other things, you know, berserk men that, you know, lose their jobs and whatever else and go like in Orlando and kill people. And, you know, it's true that you could, but see again, don't give psychobabble to the reason why somebody might lose it and go out and shoot and kill everybody. Because the fact is the sin code that brings about the potential for grave evil and anger that builds up, that moves to rage, can also move to homicidal murder, slaughter, butchery. Now I'm going to go back all the way to Genesis chapter 4. God says to Cain, "Why are you angry?" First time the concept of anger has entered into the discussion of humanity. Humanity originally being created to bear the image of God, be eternal beings and powerful, the apex of God's creation, the Imago Dei, was destroyed in an instant in the fall when the Spirit of God left and the sin code came in that became the platform for the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient. In other words, those who do not have the Spirit of God but have the sin code operating. Now, I went over the sin code a number of weeks ago, and I want you to go to Romans chapter 8 if you want to study. You know, when we talk about sin, that's, you know, doing wrong. I mean, there's the Greek word hamartia, but there's other Hebrew and Greek words that deal with lesser and more violent, willful actions when it comes to the issue of sin. But Romans 8 gives the picture that it's a sin nature. It's an operating force. It's almost as if it was a living principle in the genetics and the spiritual, moral makeup of mankind. That's why man does evil. That's why we lie. It's why we cheat. It's why we do what we do, and we... And when we do evil, the repercussions are, you know, emotionally changing us, hardening us, desensitizing us. The more sin any individual does, the more and more they are likened to the fallen cherub and less bear any resemblance to the original creation of God. So when God says to Cain, who had gotten bugged because he, well, you can read the background to it if you want. I'm just going to tell you that he got angry. And God says, why is your face downcast? God's dealing with anger. God's dealing with depression and this, anger can cause people to sulk. Hold your anger in long enough and you'll sulk. It can turn to rage. It can boil down deep in there. You know, the Spirit of God says to all believers, this is great insight. This goes beyond psychology. Beyond secular psychology. They can't scratch the surface of the nature of original and or fallen mankind. Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? You know, listen, Cain's got an emotional problem here. It's not that he's crazy. It's not that his parents didn't give him lollipops when he was five. But he's got anger and he's got emotional depression or downcast sulking going on. And God says to him, listen to this, very important revelation. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Because obviously he didn't. For everybody out there that wants to do evil, not only are you not accepted, you're doing, you know, if you're going to harm people and lie and cheat and steal, you're going against the will of God. And you're going to have to suppress the truth by your wickedness. Romans chapter 1 verse 18. You're going to have to suppress the truth of God and his presence and his eternal being, his nature, his existence. The moral law of God written in the heart and conscience of man. You're going to have to fight that on the inside if you want to do evil. And that's going to change your emotion and your mental state. It's going to bring... Sin brings dysfunction. You know, God, it says, will not be mocked. We reap what we sow. If you're going to sow evil, you're going to reap in your personality. Mentally, emotionally, all about your life, even physically. Anger's not good for you. I mean, and the kind of sin anger is not good for you. It has a catabolic effect to your chemical system and will affect you physically. So will depression. But here's what God says, but if you do not do what is right, listen, God says this, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. God is giving an education to Cain and to us too, that in the fall of the human race, something has come into humanity. The death code, of course, is there. In dying, we're dying. We're going to die. The wages of sin is death. That's why death is here. It's an enemy of God. It's why Jesus died on the cross to destroy the finality of death. The eternal consequences of sin-death scenario. So God says that sin is crouching. You can look up the Hebrew word if you want. The Hebrew word literally has that concept of crouching, like an animal, crouching, ready to pounce, lurking. Romans 8 reveals by the Spirit of God that sin is an operating code in fallen humanity. It's what drives and pushes, and it wants us to do all the sin, but yet there's something left within us that doesn't give in to everything. I've never murdered anybody. I've never raped anybody. I've never done satanic rituals. But I've done other things in life that I am glad for the forgiveness that Jesus brings. But when you come to Jesus, when you get saved, you're not just forgiven. At the same inseparable moment that Christ comes into your life, you are instantaneously forgiven based on the blood and sacrifice of Jesus, declared just in the sight of God. But you're instantaneously freed from the law of sin and death. Thus, read Romans chapter 8. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has... It's permanent in the Greek, permanently set you free from the law that propensity, that drive, that legal operating force of sin in your life. I'm not saying as a believer you don't get tempted. But if you don't go back to Romans chapter 6 and do what God says, count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Because why? You are dead to sin. You've been freed, not just forgiven. And not only have you been forgiven and freed, but you've also been given power over sin. Read Romans 8. The new nature, Christ in you, the Spirit of God, the new nature is the operating, driving presence in your life as a believer in Christ. I'm telling you that when you receive Jesus Christ, you're affected body, soul, and spirit all the way down to your DNA. A redemption that is total, that plants into your life the gift of eternal life, where death is conquered. Right now in Christ, you've been forgiven, you've been freed, and you have been dynamically empowered. Well, I hope you study Romans 8, dear friends. Because in a world in which a husband gets emotionally bent because of his sin, because of his anger, because he gets sunken and sullen, and in his mind and his heart where sin is crouching at the door. God told Cain ahead of time before he ever killed Abel. God gave the heads up. God's always giving us the heads up. Sin is crouching at the door. It desires. The Hebrew word desire means it has. There's a longing. The living propensity of this sin nature, this presence within, longs for you to sin and to kill and to rape and to steal and to go darker and darker and become a broader and wider platform for the supernatural operating presence of Satan. How do I tie that in? You ever read Ephesians chapter 4? Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a topon, a foothold, a legal right to operate in a broader way in your life. If you got an anger problem, you better repent of it. You better get before Jesus and forgive. Forgive as God in Christ forgave you. The Holy Spirit will help you. Be obedient to God. I don't care how you feel. Be obedient to God. Do what God says. And then the presence and power of the Holy Spirit can operate through your obedience to the Word of God and affect your emotions. Listen, if you're emotionally downcast, emotionally bent, emotionally sunken and sullen, emotionally angry, it's because mentally you're holding on to the things of sin. God has a way for you to respond, to walk in the Spirit, but if you don't do that, like it says in Galatians, the Spirit wars, the Holy Spirit, you know, desires for you to go one way, and the old sin nature, though it's been rendered powerless, wants you to go back. If you're a Christian and you've gone back, it's like a dog returning to his own vomit, the Bible says. And I know you're listening right now and you're feeling the sting of the Spirit of God. And he's leading you to get rid of the anger you've had for years. It's time for you to come before the throne of grace and repent of anger, repent of bitterness, repent of the things that are wrong, that give the old flesh room and the devil room to operate and to grieve the Spirit of God and to keep you from bearing fruit and to make you a miserable believer. A dog returning to his own vomit. That's how God describes anybody who's been born of the Spirit of God with the life of the power and presence of Jesus, with a life that has great horizons before you to grow broader, wider, deeper, stronger. But like so many believers, who don't learn and grow in their discipleship. Don't become stronger and stronger and more powerful. Many believers listening right now may be very weakened. And where you are right now, where Jesus will speak to your heart and speak into your heart, the same Spirit of God that convicts you deeply inside of issues you've not dealt with wants you to bring it to the table, God's table, the throne of grace, to be confronted, for you to repent, to yield to God, to obey God, to let His blood cleanse you, to let forgiveness flow. And when you do that, you can expect the Spirit of God to refill you, and for your mind and heart to be free, and your emotions to begin to be filled with the peace of Christ, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is bore and seeable and feelable in those who are obedient. Hey, you receive everything by faith. You manifest it by obedience. We're talking tonight about, and this is true in criminology, that when people have an emotional meltdown, it's because they've had a mental one. It's because of their not doing what is right. When we do what is wrong, it affects us mentally and emotionally and takes us down a spiral of darkness that can give room to the devil. So that sometimes there is an impulse murder or an impulse suicide. Person is depressed or a person is angry. They can't take it anymore. They don't resolve it the right way. Sin is crouching at the door and longs to have them. Satan wants to operate. So it's very easy in a person that is mentally and then emotionally affected by their wrong choices and responses, allowing anger to grow to the point of bitterness and rage and seething, it's pretty easy for demonic presence to come, shoot an arrow, communication, an involuntary thought and feeling, kill. You ever say or hear somebody say, "I'm so mad I could kill"? You better deal with that. God says sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you. You know who can master it? Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, never sinned. The only one never sinned. Look him on the cross, there on the cross, the sin bearer of the world. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Christ is the Prince of Peace. Come to Christ if you haven't. Come and receive him as Lord and Savior. Come and let him right now come into your life. Believers in Christ, time for a revival, huh? Love you tonight. Pray for you tonight. See you tomorrow night, Tuesday night, survivetothrive.net, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Russ Dizdar. Take a look, shatterthedarkness.net. Take a look at the book, The Black Awakening. God bless you tonight.